Welcome to the Product Podcast by Product School. Here's a preview of today's talk.
So you're going to wake up in the morning. You're going to check your email for any high priority things. Let's say your name is Steve here, and you wake up and you have a couple high priority things because shopping cart is dead on your website. Pretty important to focus on that first instead of what the next new feature is or so forth. So that's kind of what you would do right off the bat. You are going to check Slack. You're going to check for your direct messages. Make sure that nobody has an immediate need directly from you. That's also very important in this role. You're serving the people in that regard. You're going to check news blogs, news releases. You want to stay current with the trends, understand what new technologies are coming out in consumer technology. If you work in a shopping or a retail application, you want to look at Amazon, right? You want to look at how Google Shopping is now working on the search engine, like all of these things to stay relevant. And so that when you're building a product, you're not building a me too, you're building the me next or the thing that comes after where we're at today. And that's a critical skill as a product manager. You can build things that work for today, or you can build things that work for tomorrow. And usually it's a mix of both. So understanding that is an important part.
In this podcast, we teach our listeners valuable lessons about product management and transform them into thinking like a product manager. We teach product management, coding, data analytics, and blockchain in 14 campuses worldwide, including San Francisco, New York, and Seattle. You can find more information at productschool.com. Join our Slack community of 25,000 professionals to network and stay tuned for our upcoming events.
Thanks for coming, everybody. I'm shocked. I think this was the first time that this Seattle location got sold out. Somebody confirmed that that's true. Yeah? So, thanks for coming. I know it wasn't just for me. I know you guys want to get something out of this. So I'm going to talk about how to become a product manager, or at least says me. I can only go so far. I have a lot of biases, right? So I want everybody to take that, and I hope you get something out of this. And without further ado, kind of who I am. So as Brian said, my name is Cav Cavanis. I am a senior product manager at Hulu currently. I am really passionate about like people interactions. I have a miniature poodle that I adore with my wife, who's also here tonight. I am a beach bum with OCD. So I grew up on an island in Florida, and I never could shake the fact that my family only wears sandals, but I like closed shoes, and I obsess about kind of the customer experience and people, and that's why I'm here. So a couple of my strengths, I really am a warrior for your experience. And as a product manager, everybody should think of themselves as a warrior for the product experience and how people use products. So if that doesn't start to ring a bell immediately, then like, well, maybe not a good start to being a PM, because that's a really important part of it. Another thing that I just want to bring up too is I love designing. I have a passion for design and nice looking things. Not to say that I'm great at picking them out all the time. That's why there are UX designers. But I am pretty dangerous with Photoshop, and I love using it. So these are the three main goals for tonight. So I really want to take you through like what a product manager is. I heard a couple people kind of talking about the fact that they didn't even know what a product manager was. And so I want to kind of set the record straight and try to explain what a product manager is. Second thing is how different skills and passions might lead you to a career in product management. There's a lot of folks out there with different backgrounds that may not line up with product management, so you think. And my goal really will be to kind of convince you otherwise that you can be a good product manager and how your background can lend yourself to a great job. The product vision process is an important part to understand. I'm not going to teach you a lot about that. That takes practice. That takes testing, building things yourself. But I'll do my best to kind of set you guys up for success and like give you some tips on like how you might start to build product visions, even if you're not a product manager today. So I'll go into a little bit more about my background so you get a better picture for who I am. I'm going to ask a couple of you about your background because I do want to get a sense of the audience and understand kind of what your background is and what you're trying to get out of this course. I mentioned what my goals were, but maybe you have some different objectives in mind. We're going to talk about what a PM does. So I'll go through a couple of day in the life of a PM to kind of give you an idea like what it might be like if you were a PM. I'll talk about where you fit into this puzzle and how you might become a PM. And then lastly, I'll talk about like why listening really matters in building a product and how you can put all these pieces together to become a product manager. So as I was starting to research and pick a topic for this talk tonight, I looked at my alma mater, University of Virginia, and found that there were 77 different majors to choose from. So if you're in college right now, I'm sorry, that's a lot to choose from. I don't think we had that many when I was in school. So it breaks down to 51 non-technical roles and majors, 10 technical majors, and then 16 specialty. So you could think of these things such as like architecture, business learning, e-commerce, and also education. So I broke it down into these buckets. I put a couple of examples into each. So take a quick second just to kind of figure out where you fit in this picture. And then I want everybody who kind of identifies as a non-technical to raise their hand so I can get a sense of that as your background. Very low. I'm super surprised. Technical. Wow. Awesome. What a world we live in. All right. Specialty. What's an example of what your specialty is?
Mine?
Yeah.
Regulatory compliance.
Okay. Somebody else have an example of what they consider a specialty? Just yell it out.
Public relations, advertising.
Awesome. Okay. Cool. All right. Anybody want to guess which bucket I'm in? I'm actually kind of a mixture of both. So I have a little bit of more of the technical side. So I studied some biomedical engineering. Until I realized that was way too difficult and I wasn't ready for it in school. Nanobots that repair the heart, like, you kidding me? Neuroscience and philosophy is kind of where I landed. I started off thinking I was for sure going to be a doctor. That's what my grandmother said I was going to be, right? And then I realized like the parts that I really liked about being a doctor were the people parts. And neuroscience blends this, the study and the science of how the brain works. And philosophy is really like how you put that into practice, right? Like critical thinking skills, philosophy was something that I felt like we all in this room kind of possess. And the better that I can understand these things, the better I can understand you guys. So that's what I picked. Obviously, I'm going to go through how all of these lend themselves to product management. So don't worry. I am definitely techie to the core. So this is a list of some of the companies I've worked at. Yes, I also worked at Circuit City back in the day when they were still around. Rest in peace. I was actually a PC technician building people's computers. So somebody's mother was probably in my store saying they got a virus and I needed to fix it. So that was my job, and that was my first corporate taste of the business world at Circuit City. Yep. I worked at Microsoft, and I was part of the team that launched Halo 3. So if you're a Halo fan, I'm with you. I miss Halo 3. I was also a technical evangelist for Microsoft SkyDrive, which, if you don't know what that is, it's because you're probably younger, and it's now called OneDrive. So if you've heard of OneDrive, that's what it is now. It's a great product. It really kind of paved the way for things like Dropbox and all the others. Then I worked at Amazon. So I came out to Seattle 7.5 years ago. Drug my wife from the East Coast as well. I was like, we have to move to Seattle. I love it. And so I got to work at Amazon as my first job in Seattle. And some of the stuff that I got to work on was actually hardware for the first time. I was directly responsible for some of the App Store infrastructure on Fire TV, Fire tablets, yep, Fire Phone. And I was also one of the first beta testers for Voice and Echo. So had one of these in my living room before they launched, testing them, seeing how it worked, and really getting used to having somebody listening into our conversations every day. After Amazon, I worked for Twitch, which is a video game streaming platform. And I actually worked a lot more on the back end this time with a lot of the front end picture in mind. But at the time, I was building what is the finance, what is the legal, what is the accounting, what is the tax look like for e-commerce product. So Twitch actually has the capability of selling games on Twitch. And that same technology, you may be familiar with Twitch Prime and Twitch Bits. So both of those technologies actually build off of what the team and I have built. The team in Seattle is incredible. We were part of the founding members of the Seattle Twitch office. So while San Francisco is great, I wanted to stay in Seattle, and so did the rest of us. And so we got to work on Twitch here, which was super exciting. And I keep following them and watch them all the time just to stay kind of in tune. And then most recently, as most of you probably already saw on the event page, I now work for Hulu, which is a TV video streaming service, much similar to Netflix, Prime Video, Sling TV, AT&T. Everybody's kind of getting their hands in this business, right? And a year and just 2 months ago, we launched a brand new app experience. So that's what the picture on the right is. It really takes away the TV experience where it's just a grid of things and brings content first. So I was part of the team that helped build a new app, a completely new code base. I learned a lot about streaming rights and media partners, which is a fascinating world if you ever want to talk about it. And the other big important thing, the big shining light, was we also launched live TV. And that was an incredible achievement for the tech team. I joined probably 3-4 months before we were locking down everything. So the team was really hard and steady working on getting that up and going. And it was an incredible ride and fun to watch. And ever since that time, almost about a month directly after that, I became responsible for the living room product experience. And what that means in layman terms is every time that we launch on a new device, I was the product manager testing those devices and making sure that they were ready to go to live customers. So had a really great time doing that. And I guess it's been 2 months ago that Mirabelle joined. So Mirabelle's here. She is my intern for the summer, also working and helping with product management on the living room side. So hopefully she's enjoying the ride too. So what a PM does, I'll just reiterate it because there was a project manager here, right? So Kat was a project manager. We're talking about product managers. And some companies actually use the abbreviation PDM to distinguish between the two. So just a fun fact, if you look at a job description and you see PM and you don't see it actually fully defined in the job description, make sure you ask, because you might end up being a project manager and not a product manager, and they're very different. So things to know, huh? A couple of basic definitions. I'm sorry if this bores anybody. I just feel like it's good to get the room on the same page with a couple of things. So agile development is something that I want everybody to just kind of understand. I'm not going to explain fully what agile development is because it is somewhat complex. But there's really two main trains of thought nowadays, waterfall and agile. And waterfall is really this process of we'll build something, we'll wait for the next step to build the next thing, we'll wait for the next step, a waterfall of product features. Whereas agile, you're really building a product and different things are changing at the exact same time. And you're working with a ton of different stakeholders to build a product in a way that actually allows like cross-functional teams to be part of the product building, which streamlines the process, makes it go really quickly, sometimes too quickly, and that's why some companies do a mixture. It's probably the most prolific way to approach building a product in general. Second is a BRD or a PRD. I may just float that acronym out there, so I wanted to define it. It's a business requirements doc or a product requirements doc. Mirabelle's just now learning like what that means and how fun that can be. They can be really long. Amazon does a working backwards process. So if you work at Amazon, you may have heard that term. Working backwards is very similar to a spec or a product requirements doc. And the key function here is that the business helps you build what your requirements are by having different stakeholders who know the customer, who have data, who say, we have revenue goals of X, Y, Z, and then you're charged with like building a product to solve those business requirements. Make sense? Cool. So user stories. pretty basic part of product spec or working backwards doc, et cetera. So a user story has a similar structure. Very typically, it's as a persona, and you build these personas with your UX team and your research team. I do what? Like, what am I going to do as that persona? And what am I going to accomplish? Why am I doing it? Right? Like, to what purpose or what end, what goal? So that's kind of the format. And I put this also sets boundaries, because a lot of people write product user stories and they say, these are all the things people can do. And I had a really great TPM when I was at Amazon. His name is Robert. And so I thanked him all the time, because he taught me that there's positive user stories where it's, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this. And that's great. You have to have that. What is the product? What does it do, right? But there's also the negative side, or the boundaries, or the things that you don't want people to do. And that's really hypercritical, especially if you think about all the software developers in here. When you get a product spec and you're like, well, what if it did this, right? So all of those questions that you're having as an engineer, like product managers, you want to get really good at understanding what those questions might be and getting ahead of them. Because every second that goes by where somebody's thinking, well, what if, or, well, they could do this, or, well, what happens if they're in this state? That's time that could have been spent actually building something, right? So these negative use cases, I'll just give you an example. So like, if you're building a swing set, one of the things is like, I don't want the child to fall out, right? So as a child, I want a swing set that I don't fall out of. Just very super basic. And so that's why we have, you know, the swing sets with the like diaper looking things so that children don't fall out. But that, if you think about it, that was a case where you're building a swing set and that's something you didn't want to happen, not that you wanted to happen. So I think that's just an important thing to kind of remember when you start to think about writing user stories. And then lastly, you may hear these acronyms all the time already. You're probably more familiar with them than I was. CX and UX, customer experience and user experience. So these are just shorthand for really defining what the look and feel of something is. There's a fantastic book called How to Design Everyday Things, or The Design of Everyday Things. Highly recommend it. It's a great book. It's one of those books that I picked up because a designer was like, have you ever read this? It's fascinating. Talks about why push and pull on doors make sense or don't make sense, and like how important those things are. Really great as a product manager to have your feet under you in terms of UX and CX. All right, so this is where I kind of talk about a day in the life. So for those of you thinking about pursuing this career, which sounds like most of you, this is something that you might expect if you were a consumer tech PM. So you're going to wake up in the morning. You're going to check your email for any high priority things. Let's say your name is Steve here, and you wake up and you have a couple high priority things because shopping cart is dead on your website. Pretty important to focus on that first instead of what the next new feature is or so forth. So that's kind of what you would do right off the bat. You are going to check Slack. You're going to check for your direct messages. Make sure that nobody has an immediate need directly from you. That's also very important in this role. You're serving the people in that regard. You're going to check news blogs, news releases. You want to stay current with the trends, understand what new technologies are coming out in consumer technology. If you work in a shopping or a retail application, you want to look at Amazon, right? You want to look at how Google Shopping is now working on the search engine. Like, all of these things to stay relevant, and so that when you're building a product, you're not building a me too, you're building the me next, or the thing that comes after where we're at today. And that's a critical skill as a product manager. You can build things that work for today, or you can build things that work for tomorrow, and usually it's a mix of both. So understanding that is an important part. Reviewing customer feedback is probably the next thing that you might do in a typical day as a consumer tech PM. So you're going to look at what people are saying about your product, and that helps you prioritize what needs to be fixed next, where you're going to find the next great idea. It might be on Reddit. I peruse Reddit all the time, and I had a manager who was like, what's up with the like Reddit all the time? And then I started showing him all the like different sub-forums or the subreddits, right, of the website and how relevant they were. It's a great website, right? I think they just overtook Facebook in terms of traffic. If you haven't gone to Reddit, like, that's, yeah, come on. It's a great site. As a PM, it's a really great tool. People are constantly talking about things, and they're usually very open about their opinions on Reddit. So it's a great source for feedback. These last couple here, so alignment meetings and working with teams, this is maybe one of the biggest shocks to people that become product managers, is just the sheer number of meetings. When you get into product management, it's a lot of getting people on the same page. You're coming up with a product vision, but you have a ton of stakeholders who all have their own vision and like what they want out of the product, right? Engineers have their own idea of like, well, it would be better if we built this for a customer. And you want to take all of those things into consideration, because at the end of the day, when you listen to other people, again, this is why listening matters, when you listen to other people about what they want to build, you actually can put those ideas together and build a really great product. So this is a critical part for a consumer tech PM. Jira updates, this is the less sexy side of being a PM. This is getting into Jira, which is a tool that product managers, engineering teams use to manage what they're going to work on and what it is they're building. So this is where you would insert your product spec, your BRD, your working backwards doc, so that teams can then understand, what am I trying to build? What are the functional requirements of the product, right? Documenting beta testing questions. So this one might raise some eyebrows, like, what does that mean? And I put this one specifically because it's super important. When you're building products, especially in an agile environment, you're going to be constantly changing, right? So you may have heard the expression of like experimentation, A/B testing. This is this idea that you're going to be constantly releasing different versions and things into your app. And a really critical part of that is beta testing. So dialing it up to maybe 2% of your audience, right? When I worked at Amazon and Twitch, when we made a change, it was impacting millions of people. And to dial that up to 100% or show that to 100% of our customers is typically a bad idea, unless you validated it with a little bit of testing and understand that it's actually a better change and helps people out. So that is another critical part that you'll do in your day-to-day, really thinking about, what are we testing? Why are we testing it? What do we want people to test? So you might have internal testers that you're sending homework assignments and things for them to test so you can build a better product. And so what if you're a search and recommendations product manager? Like, what does that look like in a typical day? So instead of checking for high priority things, your search should be stable, right? That's one of your core KPIs or key performance indicators that you want to try to accomplish as a PM in search. So the first thing you're actually going to do is look at relevant blogs again, right? So get on Reddit, understand, how are people searching? What are people searching for? And how are they actually using it on different websites? Voice is becoming a very critical part of search. So this PM will be heavily involved with a product manager that works on voice, for example. Going through daily schedules and to-do lists, this role tends to be a little bit more pragmatic and judicious about like what they are actually working on every day. Consumer tech PM has a little bit more of the creativity side of them. So if that's your strength, that might be where you land. This person, she is excelling at keeping things organized. So she might be a former project manager, for example, right? Reviewing data. So this is absolutely a hyper data-driven role. Not to say that the others don't include that. This role is just one of those roles that this is your bread and butter, is the efficiency of search, the completion rates of search, right? And understanding that data day in, day out is critical to your daily life as a PM here. Meeting with market teams to discuss go-to-market strategy is something I wanted to just highlight. And as you can tell, I'm not reading through all of these. So I'm just kind of cherry-picking some of them. But they're there for you. The go-to-market strategy or GTM strategy is how you're going to put forth new product ideas. So for a search product manager, you're actually thinking about, if we change search, what do we need to do to tell people how and like why we changed it? It's really frustrating to go to a website, try to search for something that you searched for last week, and you get different results, it shows you in a different way, and you don't know where to go. And typically, a search product manager is responsible for getting people from point A to C, and that B is really what you're working on, right? Like the presentation and the search. And so if you mess up B, they're not getting to C, and yeah, your job has been failed, right? So really critical to think about, how you express and you go to market with new features when you're a search PM. The last thing that I'll just mention is meeting to discuss new feature requests. So when you're in a role like this, you're actually in what I call like a core services role. So this is when you're on a team that other teams use your technology or what you're building specifically. So search is one of those areas where you may want search in a browse capacity to find content. You may also want search in different capacities like voice, right? I just mentioned voice. People may use voice to go to different shortcuts. People may use search to find contacts. People may find search to do products. There's all these different ways that they may fit into a larger organization. So you're actually a core group of product managers, engineers, TPMs that other teams rely on. So if you're not working on a specific product feature that other people don't rely on, this doesn't apply too much as you. But in this role, you really are facing a lot of, hey, could I get a search box on this page? And what would it take to build that? And what if I want to tweak search? I have a new product that I'm launching, and I want my result to be on top of everybody else because X, Y, Z. So you become somebody that people rely on, and being that person can be really daunting because you're constantly balancing the different requests from your peers. So there's a couple differences between these two roles, just as two generic PM roles that I came up with here. First, if you're a consumer tech PM, you might have a goal of low or zero downtime, right? You want people to be able to shop and consume and buy, and having the website down, that makes a big deal, right? So it's really important that this is one of your KPIs or your success metrics that you're responsible for. Revenue and user acquisition targets. So as a consumer tech PM, you have to think about how many people are we bringing into the door, how many people are we keeping, and how much money are we making, right? That's an important part of your job. Innovative shopping features. So when you think about what a PM does and thinks about, I called it the V-next, or like what happens after we're in this like Me Too phase. I feel like we're in this process of thinking about what is innovative and what can I build. This is the type of role that you're going to be challenged with that constantly. How to make shopping faster, one-click experiences, and so forth.
If you have enjoyed the episode so far, check out our upcoming live events at productschool.com/events. Use the promo code PRODUCTPODCAST in all caps to get a free ticket to the next event in your city.
In the search and recommendation side, you have a couple of differences, right? So you're going to be a core service provider. Talked about that a lot. You're going to be measured on your speed and efficiency. So you're measuring, millisecond differences between search changes and display results. And those are kind of what you're after on a day-to-day basis. And then optimizing for successful transitions. So this is what I was talking about when you're being measured on like a conversion funnel, which is essentially all the people who come to your website and then the people that actually get to where they want to go. That is a success metric. And a conversion funnel is something that a lot of PMs, especially on the marketing side for sure, look at as a way to make sure that they're successful. There's also a lot of things that are same about these roles. And that's important to know. Like when you are a PM, there's a lot of things that are going to be similar to the other PMs that you're working with. And so you guys can kind of commiserate and think about, okay, yeah, like I understand that like experimentation analysis takes a lot of time, but I know that it's valuable and it's useful, right? So that's one of the first things that's going to be pretty agnostic depending on where you work. Competitive research and staying current on topics. I mentioned that in both of the day and the lives, right? Staying current is really important. If you're not interested in reading about your subject matter, this is going to be a tough job. It's going to be daunting reading about news that you don't care about. So when you're thinking about where you want to be a product manager, think about the kind of research you're going to have to do to build that product there, because you're going to be doing it every day. And you're going to be looking at blogs and reading news. And if that gets tiring before you become a product manager there, like I can guarantee you, you're not going to have as much fun. And you're not going to be as happy as some of the product managers you work with, right? Aligning large numbers of stakeholders. This, again, I'll just reiterate, like you're in a lot of meetings and you're going to be faced with the challenge of getting everybody aligned. I'm not perfect at it, and I hope that I'll get better at it. But it's a tough part of your job, and getting people aligned and agreeable and coming to the middle in some cases, or pushing back when it's appropriate, that's a critical skill that you can start to work on now, right? I'll tell you how you can start to work on that. Don't worry. Documenting product roadmaps. So if you're an English major, you're a great writer, like, you're off to a great start. A lot of your job in aligning people comes from writing successful documents that are clear. They really explain what the problem is that you're trying to solve, the customer need. If you can't solve a customer need in a sentence or two when you're building a product, like, rewrite it, like, rethink it. If there's questions about what problem you're trying to solve right from the get-go, then you need to rewrite it. That's how you get people on the same page. If you yourself have questions about it, then when you start to meet with the engineering team or the UX team or your market business research team, they're also going to have the same questions. So writing is a really important skill. Lastly, I put this one on last only because I want this one to, like, really sink in, and that's being user-focused, user-centric, thinking about what customers want. So I mentioned the, like, customer need or the customer problem. This is the skill that if you can master this, you will be highly regarded. Let me tell you, when you go to a room and people look at you like, yes, like, that's what I need, it is so rewarding. And that's what makes my job so exciting and so fulfilling, is when I wake up the next morning and I read the news blog about something we just launched and people like it, right? I read the comments and I read all the negative sentiment and think about, okay, this is how I could get better and this is what people didn't like. And getting really good at taking both the constructive criticism and negative feedback, as well as the positive stuff, is a real central part of being a product manager. And I hope each and every one of you will take that to heart and really think about what you're doing for a customer, and not always how much money does it make, or does it make things faster? Like, is faster better? And, like, do the customers want faster? Like, really think about it and challenge it. All right, so I said a lot there. I'm going to try to, you know, boil it down. So you want to clarify the problem that customers have, right? You want to listen to your customers, okay? Like, listen. Really important. You want to iterate. So this is that agile coming into play. When you launch a product, it's not going to be perfect. So go ahead and, like, take a deep breath and accept that now. It's not going to be perfect. You're going to iterate. You're going to get better. You're going to learn. So that's kind of the next phase here. Measuring, getting better and better at running queries on how your product is performing and asking the right questions. So you can measure a lot of things, but if you're not asking the right questions on, like, what you want to measure, as any data science engineer will tell you, like, you're not asking the right questions. So when you're measuring, ask the right questions. Like, what are you trying to measure? And then lastly, you're going to be balancing the trade-offs. So a real critical part here is talking to your engineering team and understanding how long is it going to take to build these things, right? You may have a laundry list of things that you want to build, but what's realistic from maybe your timeline? Maybe you have a launch date that you're trying to hit. What are the trade-offs to get there? What does the product look like? This is a hard thing to grasp. If you have an opportunity to learn about what a TPM does, or a technical product manager, I would highly encourage it. Like I said, some of the best education and learning that I got becoming a PM myself was from a TPM. And he really helped me to balance what I was expecting to build versus what we can build. And also messaging that to, like, all of my business leaders, right? Business leads are coming to you and they're saying, hey, Kev, so if we wanted to just get $1 million tomorrow, how would we do that? It becomes a real challenge, right? You want to build the right product for a customer. You want to do it within this one-day timeline that you're given, and your engineering resources are exhausted. So trade-offs is a large part. And, yeah, it came together as Climb. I was making fun of mnemonics and ways to remember things with Diego in the hallway, and, like, I usually don't like them because they're kind of cheesy, but it just, like, worked out. You know, like, I saw it on the page, and it was like, oh my gosh. So, like, yeah, like, climb your way through the product journey. It just felt great. So, yeah, Climb. I hope nobody's already used that. Then I'll feel really silly. But, yeah, This is something I hope you guys can all take with you, as this is what it means to be a product manager, right? All right, so we talked about what a PM does. I'd like to talk about where you fit in. It sounds like this is going to hit home for a lot of you, and I'm really excited to talk about this subject. And I'll also just kind of start with a little anecdote from myself. So I was never in product school. I never knew what a product manager was going into my career. Like I said, I wanted to be a doctor. I thought I was going to do things in neuroscience and research for the rest of my life. I actually started my passion for experimenting on what products to build back in college. So in my cognitive science lab, we actually were taking people, sitting them in front of an old computer screen, hooking up the EEG, which is the crazy little cap that you put and measures brain waves, putting that on people's heads and watching them look at a kitten or watch like an explosion or a fire. And we would measure the brain waves. And then we would put their feet in hot water or cold water. And we would do the same images. And the interesting thing is like if you show people kittens, they're always happier. Like always. So you put their feet in like boiling water, put a kitten on the screen. Like it'll make them feel less pain, less anxiety. So there's some really interesting implications for what visual things or things that you build will do to people. So again, like when you're building a product, really think about the impact it has on people, and it may be even more than you ever dreamed of. If you look at all the fast food restaurants, there's a reason that they have red in their logos. It elicits hunger, right? Like there's these things that people are doing that impact you, and as a product manager, you're responsible for that. So as you become a product manager, keep that in mind and build things for people because you're a person, right? Like just keep that in mind. Actually, I want to go back. So one other thing on my journey of becoming a PM that I wanted to share with you and like how you fit in. So like I said, I didn't know what a PM was. I came from marketing. I thought I was going to build, you know, different products through marketing. I did the Halo 3 college campus marketing, and I was in digital consulting in the DC area. And I got the phone call from Amazon to come do marketing for them. Did that, and I, you know, worked on video games and software and movies. I loved it, absolutely loved it. But every single year, I was working on something with engineers, and I would always tap the engineers sitting, you know, across and be like, "Hey, like, wouldn't it be really cool if we just did this? Or like, what do you think if we just automated that? Like, could we automate that? Like, what kind of script would we have to write?" And it was selfish, right? Like at the time, I was like, "How do I take my workload and off-put it to a script?" Yeah, but at the same time, I also was thinking about like the end user, right? I was doing a lot of marketing, so I was thinking about what people want, and building products and working with engineering teams was something I naturally love to do. And so I'll never forget it, but I had a manager who basically in our one-on-one meeting weekly, he said, "Cav, like, you like really need to get a new job." And I was like, "Oh no, like, what have I done?" You know, Amazon's a real hard place to work, you know, very demanding, but the stuff that it teaches you, and I was like, okay, well, you know, I learned a lot here, and I really appreciate the time, and, you know, and he stopped me, like, really quickly and was just like, no, like, you're a product manager. You're not a marketing manager. Like, that's not what you are, and you may not have that moment of somebody saying, like, this is what you're doing, but you're all here because I think you might have that inner passion for building products, and that's what it takes. So that's how I got to where I am being a product manager, and I really hope that a lot of you will share kind of a similar journey. And diverse backgrounds are super useful. They're not limiting. So I pulled this description of a dance major from Cleveland State University's page. And it was fascinating. Like, I was looking through all the different majors, as I mentioned, I was like researching all the different majors and where everybody in the audience might come from. And so, like, if you're a dance major, like, congratulations. Like, I was reading this, technical and artistic, perfect, self-awareness, understanding like where things fit and how customers use products, personal and group goals. Like, yes, like, you have to have all of these things to be a good product manager, I think. And it just goes on and on. Engaging in interpersonal dialogue, so cross-functional meetings with other teams. Like, if you're good at that, like, that's half the battle, right? So I read this, and I was just like, wow, this writes itself. Like, you could literally extract a product manager resume out of this description and I would hire you. Like, this is awesome. Practice and observation, like, all of these things just really map really cleanly. And I hope you see those connections too, where whatever major that you have can really add a ton of value to product management. It's not great to run into a room where everybody's the exact same technical major and they only have experience doing one thing. When you bounce ideas off of each other and you have differences in opinions, that's when the best products are made. And I didn't know that at first, and I got really frustrated at people saying, like, no, this is what we're going to build. And people would challenge me to death and say, like, no. And I thought they were saying my idea was bad, right? And sometimes it was, but, like, I thought I was a bad PM. And when I first got started, I thought I wasn't going to cut it. I thought, okay, I need to go back to marketing. I'm good at that. I'll just go back to that because people hate my ideas. They keep, you know, saying, what if, what about this, changing this. But that's when the best products I've ever built started and ended, is when people question things. So these are three things that I'm going to just say that these are things you can do to kind of set yourself up for success and becoming a PM. So focus on courses, if you're still in school, focus on courses that provide you opportunities to analyze information, right? Like I've said, key part of this is taking all the information that you get, customer feedback, feedback from the reviews, App Store reviews, social media, like the sky's the limit on data sources. In fact, a lot of companies are struggling with, what do I do with all the data I have? I mean, that's why Tableau exists, right? Like, no knock to Tableau, it's a great product, but it exists because companies didn't know how to use all the data they had. And that becomes a really critical part in being a PM. So I encourage everybody to think about, in your major, where can you get opportunities to analyze information? The second thing that, if you haven't already, or even if you have, you know, you're a dance major, you're already a shoo-in, so don't worry. Choose a major that challenges your current belief system or experiences. This is a super useful skill just in general. I think everybody should do this. That's personal beliefs aside. I think it's very valuable as a product manager to come to the table with a diverse range of ways of approaching problems. When you think about that and how you approach a problem, your major can actually play a big deal of how you were taught, the education that you have, and the background you had, because subconsciously, those are the things that you've learned, right? Finding clubs, classes, and places to work on building solutions. So this one is super, 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 super important as a practice. You may have tried to apply to be a product manager. You may be in a career where you're not a product manager now, and you're asking your manager, how can I be a product manager? Or what do I do to be a product manager? And they're like, well, if you just had some product management experience, you could be a product manager. And super useless. Don't listen to that, right? Like, go out and, like, build things. If you're on the public relations team, like, think about the tools that you could build to simplify some of those things. I talked about, like, scripts. Like, start talking to your engineering team and think about, what could I build that would better our public relations platform? When people come to our website and learn about what's new and exciting about our product, like, what is their product experience, and how could you build a solution that improves it? When you're using an app or a website or even a physical piece of hardware, think about the solutions that you might come up with. And if you can get a group of friends to do this, like, grab some pizza and beer, sit at your kitchen table, and just talk about it, what solutions you would build, it's an incredible skill set that you can just learn organically through time. And I encourage everybody to start that now. Start thinking about products as a product manager, even if you don't have the role, because then when you're talking to somebody about how to deliver a great product, you already have some ideas. And definitely show up to your interviews with some solutions in mind. Like, think about the product that they're building and how you might make it better. It's a great way to start the interview off when you're like, I use the site, and here's how I can make it better. Really great way to start an interview. All right, I already started kind of talking about how to become a PM, but I'm going to get a little bit more specific. So you're already on your way, right? You're here. Like I said, this didn't exist when I was looking at it. So you're way ahead of me, and I congratulate everybody for, like, thinking about it and taking the time to do this. I really appreciate you guys being here. So just as a product manager who loves what he does, I really hope you guys will too. You can start anywhere. So I want to just keep drilling that home. Don't feel discouraged if you've been trying to be a PM for a while Or you're in college and you're like, well, I don't know if this really lines up, because like, as I've said, it really doesn't matter. Get the skills from the major you have and milk it for the things that you're interested in, and go into things that you're interested in along the way, and things will start to line up very nicely. So accounts receivable, you might build automated intake systems, right? Marketing, designing new templates and CRM programs. That's a way to get your feet dirty. Try building some HTML templates yourself. I started doing that and found it super rewarding. I hadn't built websites for a while and then started building HTML templates and relearned all the value of CSS. So great way is just to kind of challenge yourself and get your hands dirty. And as a software developer, prototyping different options. So if you're already a software developer and you're building a piece of software or a product in general, like what if you built two other prototypes that you felt more strongly about and you had reasons to back it up, right? You had some data that said people are actually going to use this part of the website more than another, and you built around that. So start challenging yourself not to just build the things that people around you are being told to build or you're tasked on building. Start building things for other teams. It's pretty exciting when you start to have coffee chats with people and you're like, oh yeah, so I looked at how we were actually intaking all the shopping experience, the shopping cart experience, and I built a better shopping cart, right? Like, pretty awesome to just show up to have those conversations and say, like, this is what I was working on. And that's when you start to get told, hey, you should be a PM, right? Because you're stepping on people's toes and you're doing things that maybe you shouldn't, but I think you should. So if you want to listen to me about it, I highly encourage it. These are 8 skills that you can start to focus on, work on, and put together when you're going to apply to a company or when you're thinking about what you can get out of a major. These are the 8 things that I use all the time. And so I really would love for everybody to like come to an interview and have all of these things kind of checked off, right? If I was looking to hire somebody, right? So cross-functional team meetings, you may ask yourself, like, how do I have a cross-functional team meeting if I'm not already a PM? Any job that you work at has other organizations that's also working at your company. So I really encourage you to schedule some time with somebody in an organization that you don't work in. So find somebody else in the organization, right? If you're on one team, let's say you're on the marketing team or the project management team, go and try to talk to somebody on the legal team. Just ask them, like, what a day in the life of a legal assistant or one of your legal assistants when they're thinking about the different sides of the business, maybe the partnerships team, right? Start to think about different teams and how you might work with them by going and meeting with them. They're actually going to find this really flattering too. So this is a great way to learn more about your company, learn more about different roles, and start to have meetings with people who have very different goals in mind, different skill sets and backgrounds, right? I know the first time that I met with the accounting team, I learned a ton about how ledgers work. Actually, Min Lee or Min Su?
Hi.
Min Su. Yeah, Min Su and I were talking about some of the blockchain and ledgers, and it's a fascinating world. It's changing rapidly, and if you don't talk to the accounting teams, you may not understand how they work. And then when you go to build a product that relies on the accounting team, you show up to the meeting and you're kind of shrugging. I don't know how this is going to work. So this is just kind of ways that you might start to kind of build up those skills. Listening to customers, I'll just say it 2 times. Listening to customers, super important. Documentation and announcements. So writing out what you're working on, why you're building it, what the customer benefits are. That's a skill that will travel with you your entire career. And so in your current job, think about what announcement you might make to just your team, right? Think about what announcement you might send to your manager. This is what I worked on. This is the customer benefit. Here's how we built it. Here's what we learned. Here's what we're going to try next. Thinking about how you send announcement emails and documenting your product is something you can do today. You can also try it with like your parents. You can also try it with your friends. What you're working on, what your next week looks like, it's a great way to stay in touch, right? Strategy planning, this is something that will come with time and experience for sure, but you can also think about strategy planning in your current career or your school. What are you working on today, and where does it set you up for success? Like, you're clearly thinking about your strategy now by being here and learning more about product management. So continue to do that and refine that skill, because when you're building a product, sometimes you're going to be faced with the challenge of those trade-offs where you can only build so much in so much time, and you have to think about what's the V next. What happens in a year? What's actually going to take 2 years or 5 years? And so building up that skill becomes really valuable as a PM. Backlog management and prioritization. This one is going to be a little hard to do ahead of time, but if you have a to-do list, you can do it, right? If you have a to-do list that you manage on Wunderlist or whatever app you use, you can start to think about, how do I manage my time better? What is really important? And building a consistent framework for how you measure what's important is something that a PM must do when they're talking to an engineering team. When you go to an engineering team and you say, here's the five things we should build and in what order we should build them, the first question they're always going to ask is, why is this one first, right? Like, what criteria did you use to put this one first on the list? And so if you can't answer that question and use that same methodology for 2, 3, 4, and 5, you're setting yourself up for failure. So think about that in your daily life and how your to-do list, and are you prioritizing the right things, right? UX design. Photoshop's kind of expensive, but you know, I love it. I use it almost every day alongside with Balsamiq to do wireframes and prototypes. They're great tools. So Photoshop, Sketch is incredible, and Balsamiq are like the three tools I would encourage you to just look at if you haven't already. Get your hands dirty. Understand what a designer is going through when you start to make suggestions like changing colors or changing text, and like what that means. Sketch has made that much easier than Photoshop was, but it's still an arduous process to make sure that all the fonts are the same size and everything lines up and the red lines are ready for engineering. Red lines, as an asterisk definition quickly, red lines are what you give to an engineering team so they know where the pixels go on the screen, right? So you build a design, where do things go? Those are red lines. So, market data analysis. So I talked about using Reddit and other forums and news blogs. TechCrunch, whatever it may be, depending on your field. It may also be healthcare, publications, if you go more into the science field, robotics, as it were, right? Market data analysis is a critical part of staying current. So if you like learning, product management is a great career to be in because you're constantly learning, you're constantly adapting and changing what the product is to people. Technical acumen, I think the majority of this room is probably already there based on the hands I saw. But if you haven't, there's great resources to start your coding. Product School has them, right? Like, there's lots of places to start to build out some basic technical skills. You don't have to be a developer to become a product manager. It's a great skill set to have going into product management, but again, it's not the only way to be a product manager. Having technical acumen gives you respect, it gives you the buy-in from your engineering team, so that when you show up to the meeting, you know what you're talking about. And when they're talking about technical architecture of how you might build something, you can offer suggestions because you are another brain in the room and you might have an idea that they haven't thought of. They're experts in their field and they probably have thought of everything, but just to be on the safe side, it's great to come in and have some ideas on your own, right? Diego.
Do you have this list in order of what we should prioritizing first?
That was not set up at all. That's hilarious. So yeah, this list is in order, and I could explain like my full like walkthrough if you guys want, or we can just talk about it after. Okay, I'm gonna keep going because there's a lot that goes into this, and actually I'll go ahead and caveat it too. So thanks for challenging it. It's not perfect for every role that you go into. As a PM, this is when I was thinking about going into PM. This is what I would have wanted somebody to tell me. And so that's why I put this list together. And it's very specific to front-end software as a service or software as a product. So it can differ if you're building hardware or different things. So, all right. So why listening matters. Just going to keep kind of maybe to a blunt point here, but this is what happens in a real life situation, right? You come to your team, you're the product manager, and you're just like, give me all the stuff. I want to build the best thing. It's going to be incredible. It's going to work great. And then the developer comes back to you and is like, a little scope creep. There's a deadline thing. Don't you? What about budget? Like, does anybody care around here? A lot of the engineering teams that I work with really value when I come to them and I talk through, this is what I think we should build from a product perspective, but I would love to get like a scope of what these different pieces would take to build. And here's all the trade-offs that I'm willing to make to build a great product. So listening and sharing with your team is very critical, especially as a product manager, because you sit in the middle of it all, right? You may have heard product managers be called mini CEOs. You're sitting amidst different teams, and you have to take the input from all these different teams, listen to what their needs are, listen to what their challenges are, also listen to their ideas, right? Different organizations have some of the best ideas for your product, and it's just really important to think about where you sit in all of these things and making sure that the UX team, the tech team, and all the business teams all understand what you're trying to build and why it matters to them, and listening to their feedback. And at the end of the day, what you're trying to do and why listening matters is because you're trying to build an MVP, or a minimum viable product. I call it an MRP now. Other companies are also doing this, right? This is becoming more and more of an industry standard. You don't want to build a minimum viable product. You actually want to build a minimum remarkable product, right? And it's a flashy way of saying that viable is probably not the right term when you're thinking about building a great product, right? Because there's a lot of things that might be viable, but whether or not people enjoy using them and things like that come into play. And if you're building a great product, why not call it a minimum remarkable product, right? So this is a super famous chart. I imagine a lot of you have already seen it. Apparently, it's been floating around since the 1960s. I tried to find like the origin of it, and after like way too many websites, I was like, forget it. Somebody could correct me if I'm wrong, but 1960s is what I seem to find. And there's a couple of points out of this that you may find really interesting and why listening matters. Because like on the top left here, a customer is like, this is the kind of swing set or the rung ladder that I want. And I say swing set or rung ladder because like, which is it, right? You have to listen to the customer to understand like what that is, even if they drew it, understanding what they want. Engineering, you said, yeah, this is what I want to build. And they didn't understand, or they didn't hear you out. You didn't hear their feedback or their questions along the way. And so then this is how they designed it. So the technical architecture is a little funky. The customer, meanwhile, is getting billed as if it was a roller coaster. They wanted a swing set like made out of wood and rope. So these are all the different types of customers that you may have, and why listening for each of these and their feedback and the information that they have and what they're tasked with doing is super important. And lastly, the customer actually wanted a tire swing all along. All right, so we're going to try to put these pieces together a little bit. Talked about kind of the journey of becoming a product manager, how to be a product manager. And it's not going to be easy thinking through all of these different stakeholders' requests. It's not going to be easy thinking about the different pieces of customer feedback. But if you're up for the challenge, it's super rewarding. It's super exciting to think about how you can build something for people that makes them smile. When you leave every day, your to-do list gets longer and longer and longer. And that's a hard part of being a product manager. But you know, it's a climb, right? It's a climb, and you're going through this experience. And while your to-do list is growing, it means that you have more demand and more people want to use your product. So at the end of the day, when your to-do list is longer, I want you to look at that as a good sign and not be demoralized or think you're not getting enough done in a day, because chances are you probably are. I also tried to find a timeline to be a PM. Doesn't exist. Your timeline is going to be different. How you get to becoming a PM, all of your steps are going to be different. I even like had this whole like beautiful chart, and then I tried to fill it out, and it was just complete garbage. So it doesn't exist. The good news is there's over 1,000 job openings in Seattle. So I looked this up because I was like, how much competition am I giving myself? Like, all of you are going to try to take my job. There's 1,000, so good news is we all can have a job as a product manager in Seattle. So good luck, everybody. I really hope you have a great journey with it, and you find a great job. I am a resource, so I want to thank you for your time. Have a great night, and thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Product Podcast. If you liked this episode, don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes. If you want to know more about our courses and next course, visit productschool.com. Stay tuned for the next episode to learn more about the secrets in product management.